There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. With the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. This is a special Saturday edition, the Joseph Kaufman Racing Special. This is podcast number 430, May 30th, 2010. Nasser, welcome to the studio. Please introduce this fine racing team.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure and a deep honor to be in the palatial studios. First of all, my thanks to Josef and his son Lars Kaufmann for their fine German hospitality in Barcelona. Their team area was also my base of operation. As you know, you have to do a lot of walking, you know, lap after lap of the paddock area. So after every 45 minutes, I would come back and chill out there. We were also staying in the same hotel, not too far from the track. And they have three drivers in Formula BMW Europe this season. We call them Kaufmann Kids. Our first interview is with the senior member of the team, Robin Freins. Robin Freins is now in his second year in the championship with the same team and was a race winner in Barcelona, so which is always very good, and our congratulations to the young man again. Robin is looking to fly high this year by taking the championship. He also won a race at Silverstone in his rookie season, which was 2009. My thanks to Robin Freins for his time. Please enjoy this conversation.
Okay, folks, I'm here with Robin Freins from Holland. Robin, first of all, how are you today?
Could be better.
And why is that?
The free practice wasn't that good. I only was P8 and a lot of troubles with the car as well. But also the track was not good at all. It was raining there for 4 days, so no grip. And we changed a lot in the car now, so hopefully it's going better in the qualifying.
Okay. Now, you were Rookie of the Year in Formula BMW Europe last year. What is the agenda this year?
Win the championship.
Simple as that. Who would be your main competitor this year, you think?
It looks like Harvey. The Carlos Sainz, the rookie, is also quite quick, but I don't know with the race thing with him. And Hansen, that's the only three, I think.
Jack Harvey and Carlos Sainz, have you ever raced against these kids in karting?
Jack Harvey I always race against, but Carlos Sainz never.
Okay. How good is Harvey in your opinion?
He's a really good driver. Quite smart one. Not easy to pass. He's really a racer.
Okay. That's good. Now, how would you define yourself? Are you somebody who just moves around and say, hey, I'll be happy with third? Or are you like Mark Webber, the car gets very wide?
I'm hard to get satisfied.
Okay.
I always want to be first, like usual. But I'm not a good qualifier, but I'm a better racer.
Why is that though?
I don't know, I just like maybe the attendance in the race. I always like it, like last year for example, like Spa, the qualifier qualified 10 and 14, and I drove from place 10 in the first race to third, and the second race from 14 to fifth. So I'm just, the race pace for me is just quite good, always been.
Now, both your teammates are rookies. What is the best advice you can give them from your experience as a rookie last year, apart from telling them, hey, don't pass me?
Yeah, you just, everybody learns his own way, you know? I learned my own way, so they just have to learn. Well, it's not easy to get the step from karting to the Formula. Normally, normal guys just think they drive like 10 laps and they're going to drive in the front of the field, so it's going to take a year to get to the point where I am now.
What is the biggest challenge you faced, or at least you faced, when you went from karting to single-seaters?
Ooh, the biggest challenge.
Or biggest adjustment.
Well, you can't see anything. In the car, you can just look back and where the other are, but if someone is next to you, you just can't see him. You don't know where he is. So you don't know if you just turn into the corner or else you hit him, they just fly over, you know? That's the hardest point for me. You never know where the other guy is.
Now, last year, we mentioned you were Rookie of the Year and finished third overall. Apart from your victory in Silverstone, what were the high points of the season for you?
The two races in Spa. Only the races. The qualifier was a disaster. But it's fun, you know. If you start 14, you lose 3 places in the start, okay? You start 17th then. And you drive back to 5th with the fastest lap times. You get a good feeling with the car. You're feeling happy after the race, so it's a good feeling.
At Silverstone, if I have this right, you took the lead on the last lap from your teammate. No team orders, and how happy were you after winning your first race?
I was extremely happy. I never expected that, to win a race in the first rookie year. Never, nobody does. But it was not an easy race. It was because Christensen who did a mistake with the radio, with the yellow flag, so that's when he held back. So I gained a position, but then with Kazim, it was quite a big fight as well. But in the last lap, I saw a gap, so I went for it. So that's why I won my first race.
Okay, is Spa your favorite track? Because that's the answer I always get when I ask drivers. And the other part is of the question, is there such a thing as a boring racing track?
Boring racing track?
Yeah.
Hungary. Huh? You can't pass there, just driving in the train.
Really?
It's boring, yeah.
And are you going to shock me by saying there is a track better than Spa?
Ooh, no, not yet.
Yeah. What does it feel like going through Eau Rouge fast in a car?
At the moment, it feels quite boring because it's flat out easy, even with cold tires as well. But I never drove in the rain before. Maybe it's like limit flat out, but that would be really cool. But with the GP2 cars, you see the GP2 cars moving on Eau Rouge. That would be very awesome to do that.
Yeah, well, we hope you're doing that in a few years.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay, Josef Kaufmann Racing has been in business long before you were born. How important have they been in the development of your... You know, you earlier said that everybody has to learn their own way. How important have they been in the development of you as a racing driver?
Well, Lars helped me a lot. With the data, you just tell me what to do. But I never had any karting. You know, you just drive and... You drive behind someone, and if he's faster there, you have to work on that corner, you know. But here, you just can see on the data from the day you're quicker, you have to brake later there. So it's much easier to learn, but it's not easier to do. So it's a moment, yeah. It's just learning, actually. That's it.
I like Lars too, but I can't figure out if he's way too crazy or way too cool. What do you think?
Both.
Wow, he's doubly talented now, even better. Okay, how did you discover motorsports? Was there any interest in the family?
I'm sorry, say it again.
How did you develop interest in motor racing? Was somebody in the family interested, or this is something you just got on your own?
No, quite a long story. My father sponsored a racing team when I was 5 or 6 years old. Then from that racing team, I got a quad, like a 50cc. And I was driving all over the place with it. I roll over, I'd get back on and drive again. So, and when I was 7 years old, I get to an indoor karting, and that's why it all began. So my father told me, if you win the championship in the indoor, you get an outdoor kart. So I won the indoor championship, so I get an outdoor kart, so I won that again. Every time I won, so now I'm standing here.
So your dad set the goal, you met them, and here we are.
Yeah, that's true.
Who is guiding and managing your career?
My father does.
So what series you want to go, which team your dad decides?
Well, it's also for my part, you know. I have no manager at all. Yeah. I'm just waiting to get one, absolutely. But we just figure all things together.
Oh, definitely you're doing a good job. Okay, what's the plan? I know the focus is to win the championship this year. What would be your next 2-3 year racing agenda? Let's say you win the championship this year, and Lars has already told me you will, so I believe him. What will you do next year?
I want to do 2 years GP3.
2 years GP3, very good idea.
Yeah, because and then the year after GP2, 1 year, win the championship and step into Formula 1. It's easy like that, no?
Yeah, it is, and that's how it works out. Just ask Sebastian Vettel. Now, I have a question. Once you get to Formula 1, will I be able to come and talk to you like this?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
You are on the record, and what's going to happen? You're going to say, hey, talk to my PR lady.
Yeah, sure. Sure, I'm always like that.
Okay, well, I will certainly appreciate that, and I hope to see you there. Okay, we do our show from California, and we have listeners all over the world, very dedicated listeners in your country also. Have you ever been to the United States?
No, never. I really want to, but I never been to New York City. Oh, yeah. America once.
Okay, what part? It's a very big country, very happening place. What areas of America would you like to visit more?
New York, for sure, New York. Well, California as well. Yeah. That's where you came from.
Yeah.
So, but that's quite it. I never been to the place, so I don't know which place is cool or not cool.
Every place is cool. It depends on what you like. But New York City, Las Vegas, and California, you cannot go wrong, I guarantee you.
Okay.
Okay. Another question I have for you is, do you follow American racing as a fan of motorsports?
What, you mean like the NASCAR?
NASCAR, they also have a thing called Indy cars.
Well, I like Indy cars, but if I take a look at the NASCAR, I just keep it on television. But it's a lot of fun, you know. The cars are really moving a lot. It's like softer suspension and everything. But I like more like the Formula One style than the Europe style. That's more my kind of thing.
Okay. Finally, I appreciate your time. Please tell our listeners a little bit about Robin Friends. You know, what kind of food you like, what kind of music you like, how many girlfriends you have.
Well, none. None girlfriends. I don't have time for that. Well, maybe in the future. Yeah, my favorite music is dance. I always listen to the dance music. Well, if in my free time I hang out with friends. Friends like really important to me. And well, I'm 18 years old now, and hopefully I'm getting into Formula One later on.
Cool. Okay. How about a message for listeners of F1 Weekly? You want to say something to them?
Well,
keep any message.
Keep watching me.
Okay. And what's your website?
Robin. I would say it in America.
Yeah, you can say robinfriends.com, right?
Yeah, robinfriends.com, yeah.
Yeah, people are smart, they can put www.
Yeah.
Dot before that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Now, one final request. Can you say, how many languages do you speak?
I speak like English, Dutch, a little bit of French, I can understand it, and I only understand German a bit, but I can't speak it.
What happened to Flemish?
Well, Flemish is like Dutch, you know, it's not hard. It's quite the same.
Thank you, sir. All the best, man.
Yeah, hopefully.
And hope you win the race. It'll be very nice.
Yeah.
I am now here with the winner of Formula BMW race on Sunday, Mr. Robin Friends. Robins, congratulations. How does it feel?
How does it feel? It feels great. Just because it was the hardest race of my life. I wasn't fast enough. Maybe the car wasn't 100% after the crash yesterday. We don't know, but the car didn't feel good. I didn't have any trust in the car. But I defend quite well, especially the corner before the main straight. I always get a gap. So that's how I win the race.
And you were on the front row, right? So tell us a little bit about the start and how it went for you and where you took the lead.
I took the lead right from the first corner. I got a great start, great reaction. So I took the lead in the first corner and I didn't let him go anymore.
And does it make up for the DNF from Saturday?
Yeah, it makes a lot.
And Saturday you were pushed out by somebody. So is that more frustrating than when you make a mistake and get out of a race?
Well, if you do a mistake, you know it's your mistake. You're not gonna. You have to work on it. But if somebody else pushes you off, it's very frustrating as well. You know, there's nothing you can do about it.
And the next race is where?
It's Zandvoort. It's my favorite track.
And it's your home track. Are you gonna win both races there?
Well, if you see the official testing, I should. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope you do, and all the best.
Thank you.
Okay, our second interview. This is another Dutch treat for our listeners. Hannes van Asseldonk, he was Benelux Rotax Max Senior Champion in 2008. Last year he was in the top 10 of German Shifter Karting Championship, and we wish him all the best in his rookie year of single-seater racing. And if all goes well, I will see all these kids and Lars and Josef at Monza. I'm saving my dinars and rupees and shekels, and hopefully they will add up to a mighty fine trip to Monza in September.
Okay, folks, we're here in Barcelona with a young man from Holland, Mr. Hassel van Asseldonk. Did I get your name right?
Yeah, yeah, you got it right. Harald van Asselhoek.
Okay. Tell us, what is your story? This is your first race. Tell us a little bit about where you're coming from in terms of karting and what's your racing background.
Well, I started karting in 2007. I started with Rotax Max Juniors, and yeah, it was the first year, so a learning year. And yeah, the results weren't that good, but it went better and better. Yeah, the year after it was a seniors, Rotax Max Seniors, 2008. And yeah, it went better and better, and I became Benelux champion, second with the Dutch championship, and second and fourth at the world championships. And in 2009, last year, I did KZ2 shifting, and yeah, it was really difficult for the first year, so not major results, but yeah, was better and better. And yeah, I did the license course of Formula BMW, and of there when I was invited to the scholarship BMW, but between that I had the World Series of karting, and I broke my collarbone, so I didn't train before the scholarship, and I 4 days after my surgery I had to drive the scholarship. So it was pretty painful, and it yeah, didn't went well, so no scholarship for me this year. And yeah, and with we tested after that, and it went better and better, and we decided to drive with Jozef Kaufman. And yeah, Jozef Kaufman, yeah, they saw me driving, and I think yeah, I'm very glad that they chose me to join the team. So I'm glad about it.
Now, in karting, who are some of the young drivers you raced against who are also now, let's say, moved in car racing a year or two before you? Some names that our listeners might be familiar with?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I started in 2007, only 3 years ago.
Okay.
So, not many guys I know.
Your country produced one of the greatest car drivers, Mr. Jos Verstappen. Have you ever taken some advice from him, or is he available to even talk to young drivers like you?
Yeah, sometimes with karting we spoke, and my team was in karting was a friend of Jos, so yeah, we spoke quite much, and yeah, he's a nice guy, and he gave me some advice, but yeah, with the car sport, not yet. I didn't spoke after the last time I saw him on the karting track. So,
yeah. Holland, there's a big passion in Holland for motor racing. How did you get interested in motorsports? Was your mom, dad, or somebody in the family interested, and you just picked it up from them?
Yes, my father did. Yeah, quite similar now, superbike, and but he stopped when my older sister was born. And yeah, when I was young, I always wanted to drive everything that was possible, and I always liked it. And yeah, we started karting once indoor, and yeah, after a couple of months indoor, I started the karting outdoor with a real team. So that's how I came in the sport.
Now, this is your first year in single-seater racing. When you made your switch and did some pre-season testing, A, how did the pre-season testing go for you? And B, what was the biggest surprise for you from karting to single-seater racing?
Yeah, the biggest surprise that yeah, you just can go really fast with the downforce car, and yeah, the driving itself, it's really, yeah, it's not similar to karting, not at all. And yeah, the braking structure and all the corner structures is completely different. And yeah, in the pre-season testing, in the winter I tested a lot with Jozef Kaufman, and with Euro International, Fortec, and with Motor World. And yeah, I learned from every team. And with yeah, with in Barcelona we had pre-season testing, and yeah, it went okay. And every pre-season testing I came closer to the fastest time. And last time in Zandvoort it was also pretty good. So yeah, I faded it. I think it's going better and better.
Okay. And you mentioned you were happy with your Jozef Kaufman team. Did you look at other single-seater series like Formula Renault or Formula Ford in England before deciding on Formula BMW and this team?
We watched at Formula Renault. But yeah, last year then they made the choice with the new cars and with the old cars, so it was a bit strange. So and yeah, we saw like the Formula BMW, they produce a lot of Formula One drivers, and yeah, I like to drive the Formula car, and but we didn't test with any other cars. We wanted to test on Zandvoort with Formula Renault or Formula 3 or something, just to try it once, but yeah, we didn't do it because there was no time for it, and yeah, we just decided to do Formula BMW. For us, it was the best choice.
Okay, tomorrow is your first ever motor race in your life. Tell us a little bit about the qualifying, and how many butterflies will you have before the start of the race on the grid?
Well, this with the qualifying, I already had a lot, and I really need to go to the bathroom. But yeah, I know. I have confidence, and I feel confidence with the team. And Peter Belmos, my driver coach, is going to help me with everything. So yeah, I think I'm in a good position to leave with not too much stress. And yeah.
What is your goal for your very first racing weekend? You have two races, one today, Saturday, one Sunday. What is more important to you, finish both races or go like hell and try to please Dad, who I would imagine is your big sponsor?
Yes, my sponsor indeed. Now, my goal is, yeah, of course, to be the first rookie. And yeah, it's looking not so bad at the moment. So, but my goal, I don't know. We'll see tomorrow, and we'll see if I did a good race or not. And the position, yeah, of course, it must be in top 10, and yeah, best in top 5. But yeah, especially first rookie. That's okay. The main goal.
Who would be your main competitor for the Rookie of the Year this year, you think?
I think Carlos Sainz. He's the first race he's in front of me, and the second race he's behind me. So and Daniel Kvyat is also pretty fast the whole time. But yeah, Carlos Sainz is just the best rookie who I need to defeat.
Are you friends with him?
Yeah, I'm friends with him. Yeah.
So far,
he's
right?
He's a good guy. You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm going to ask you the same question at the end of the season.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, have you set yourself a target, like in 2 years you want to be in this series, and 4 years you want to be in GP2? Do you have some sort of a goal like that, or a time frame?
Well, this year I'm in the best position for to score so many points, and the good team. My dad is supporting me. I have Peter who's helping me everything. So this year we'll see how it goes, and and then at the end of the year we'll see if we are satisfied with the result and good enough to go better and better in the rest of the sport. So We only have this year, and see how it goes. And if it goes well, we go to maybe another year Formula BMW. We'll see on the end of the year.
We do a show from America in California. Do you follow as an interest in racing fan American racing scene like IndyCars or NASCAR?
I followed IndyCars a little when Robert Doornbos was driving in it, because he's also from the Netherlands, and. But watch Indy 500, but not really following every result.
Can you say his name one more time for me, please?
Robert Doornbos.
You know what they call him in America?
Bobby D.
Yes, Bobby D.
I know.
And Jean-Carl Vernet is J.K. Vernet. And once they start, what do you think they should call you?
I don't know, just Hannes. Hannes is weird enough.
Donk.
I don't know.
Okay.
Hannes is weird enough in the Netherlands.
Yeah. Okay. Tell our listeners a little bit about Hannes van Asseldonk, the gentleman, young man, not the race car driver. What do you like? What kind of music, sports, and away from racing? What's your life away from racing?
Well, I like to sport and work out as many as possible. And I like a lot of sports, and especially when I can win. So with mountain biking and with race bike driving and everything, I like all kinds of sport. And the music doesn't matter. I like every style. It's okay for me.
Do you like Lady Gaga?
Yeah, some songs, not all, a little.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon. All the best.
Petri Suvanto is next on the podcast. In 2006, Petri Suvanto was Finnish junior champion in karting. He was also very quick and successful in international karting. He was telling me that a lot of kids race in Finland in karting, and they stay in karting in Finland for whatever reason, and that's why the competition is very, very tough in Finlandia. He was awarded BMW Motorsport Scholarship for the 2010 season, and he is with Gravity Management, people who own the Renault F1 operation now. In Barcelona, Suvanto also struck a deal. This was very important. In Barcelona, Suvanto struck a deal with F1 Weekly, details of which are coming up in the interview. And all I can say is, of course, I wish him all the best. Thank you, Senor Suvanto. Okay, folks, we're here in Barcelona with the second coming of Iceman, Mr. Petri Suvanto from Finlandia. Petri, good to see you. How are you today, sir?
Today I'm really good. It was my first ever single-seater race today, and I learned a lot, and I think I'm much stronger now as a driver and as a person as I was this morning.
Very good, and I can confirm that after seeing you in the morning and seeing you now. Now, is this your first interview after your first ever motor race?
Actually, that's true. You are the. This is only for you.
Thank you so much. Now, this what you know what this really means. When you hit F1, the first interview is with?
With Mr. California.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Okay, what part of Finlandia are you from?
I come from the western Finland. You might not know the place. It's called Seinäjoki, but there it is in Finland.
Okay. And your country has a lot of drivers coming, and I'm sure everybody asks you, how come so many good drivers come from your country? What's your excuse?
To be honest, I think that we are quite tough persons, so I think sports are quite natural thing for us, and we are quite competitive. Mm. So I think it's just, I don't know. It's just a mystery. Nobody in Finland knows that. Nobody in other places knows that. But we always have the few good guys like Raikkonen, Kovalainen, and all these also rally drivers. So we will find out.
You know, one guy can unlock this mystery. He knows the answer, but he won't talk. His name is Kimi Raikkonen. Have you ever met him?
Actually, I've never. I've met him only once, and that was when I was a little kid, and he had just made the Formula One with the Sauber theme.
Did at least say, "Hey kid,"
almost something like that.
He is a classic masterpiece, but we love him as a race car driver. Okay, what was your first introduction to motorsports? Was your dad interested in motor racing, or how did you develop interest?
Well, I think I had one relative doing karting in Finland and also on international level, and my father got interested in car racing also because Mika Häkkinen, the former Finnish Formula 1 legend, well, just started to do well in Formula 1. So I think my father thought that his son should be a Formula 1 world champion just like Mika Häkkinen.
Okay, you say something very interesting. You know, when I talk to team owners, and I've spoken to a lot of people who own teams in karting and Formula BMW, Formula 3, this and that, and I ask them, what is the most common thing you see in with young drivers, and the normal answer is that the father wants the kid to become the driver or the champion more than the kid himself. In your case, did you really have a passion to do this, or did your dad just take you and you said, okay, I gotta please my dad?
I think it was more like me. I was the guy who always asked to go to drive, and I really had the passion to love for racing from the very beginning.
Okay, that's good. And how old were you, and where did you start karting? What was your feeling when you first got into a kart?
I was 4 years old. It was my local town's, my hometown's track, and like after the first corner, I was in. That was it. I was totally in.
What was the excitement about a 4 year old? What did you like it? Was it? What was this cool thing about that you said I was in by the first corner?
I just think it was the speed. It was the speed and the challenge from the straight on. And I've always liked challenges, and I think this is one of the most challenging sports on this planet. So I think this is the right thing for me.
Okay. How tough is it to? I would imagine a lot of kids in Finland are trying to be Kimi or Mika or whatever, Keke Rosberg. How tough is it to win karting races and championship in your country?
It's quite tough because the level of karting
karting is actually quite high. There are not many drivers coming from Finland to international karting, but there are lots of drivers in Finland, within Finland. And I think that it's really hard, and maybe that's one of the reasons why we are so good, because we have such a good level within our own country's borders.
Is karting very well organized and promoted in your country?
Well, that's not the case, and I think there are some improvements to be made for that side. And I think if I will ever do well and make my dreams come true, I want to change the state of Finland's motor racing.
What will you do, young man?
I try to promote the young drivers and get them to media to help them to create careers and make their dreams come true.
Okay, so do I detect that you felt that when you're coming through the system that the media was not very helpful to you, or the system was not there, or the opportunities were not there? What was your experience?
I always felt that it's a disadvantage to be from Finland when it comes to motor racing from many point of views, and I think that's one of the reasons why we are so good, because it's so difficult for us to do well in racing, so it's like a hard school, and through that we learn a lot and become tough drivers.
Are you going to school also, and if you are, what are you studying?
I'm in normal high school, and it's really tough for me, because some of my friends even say that it's tough for them, but it's even tougher for me when I miss at least half of the classes. So I'm doing normal school, and I think it's important part of this still.
Okay, you had a change of management. Tell us, how did you get involved with racing management people, and how old were you, and what led to that?
Well, I was signed by this English management company when I was...
We need a name.
That's a secret.
Oh, yeah. See, I told you it's the second coming of Kimi. That's why.
No comments. No, it's an English company called All-Star International. Okay. And they signed me when I was 13. And their goal was to nurture my talents and help me on many ways, like fitness, mental ways, and also media training. And then now when I was 16 last summer, we came to the point where I had to move up to single seaters, and then we thought that it's better for me to move up to gravity's wings.
Okay, and the gravity has pulled you to Formula BMW?
Yes, I think it's quite much thanks to gravity that I'm here today speaking with you. So, a big thanks to them.
And in terms of, just to know how the gravity system works, who is like the main guy at Gravity? These are the same people who own the Renault team now. Tell us a little bit about this company that you can share with us.
Well, it's I'm still new to the company, so I don't know exactly how it works. But the CEO of the company is the current Formula One team boss called Eric Boullier, and he's the man in charge.
Is he a pretty cool guy?
Yeah, I like him. I'm get on with him very well.
Would you have wished that the previous boss man of Renault was still there, the one and only Flavio?
Flavio is a legendary man, but I'm not so sure about that.
Okay, now today was your first race. Tell me honestly, how nervous were you after qualifying? And before the race,
I was pretty calm before the race. But when the engines were switched on, I bet my heart rate was quite high, to be honest. But then after a few laps, I think I calmed down and I could pull my mind together, and then it started to flow.
Okay, and this is just from the excitement of being in your first ever race. Are you tell us where you finished, and are you happy where you finished?
I finished 11th, and I'm not entirely happy with the actual result, but the process and the learning process was really good, and I think that when we have a new race tomorrow, I can improve and try to be in top 8 or top 10.
Okay. During the race, were there any moments where you went off or you said, oh man, I shouldn't have done this? I mean, I'm sure a lot of things go through your mind in your very first race.
Yes, after the race I had many, many if moments, that if I had done that, maybe I could have been 2 positions more up, but that's it. It had happened, and that's history. Now it's time to concentrate for the next race, which is tomorrow morning.
Okay. Team, okay or satisfied with your performance and your, you know, demeanor?
The team understands that it's my first ever race in single-seaters, and they can't justify my result, and of course they are not happy, but they understand and they know that I have the talent to improve a lot.
Yeah, and you plan to do that, I'm assuming.
That's my goal. That's
okay.
My goal.
Okay, when, seriously and realistically, when do you think you would start coming on the podium? That's when will people say, oh, this guy, we knew he was good.
My goal is that I will be much better as a driver when we go to the next race, which is in Netherlands, in Zandvoort, and because we have few tests in Budapest and in Hockenheim before that, so I have 4 days to improve and try to find solutions for my problems, and then we will see in Zandvoort where I am.
Yeah, well, you hang in there and keep going. Okay, compare your first motor race with your first kart race, or the last kart race that you did. What is the big difference racing a single seater and a kart?
Well, it's the speed, simple, and it feels like in karting actually things happen a little bit faster than in formula racing. Formula racing, everything happens a bit slowly, and you have time to think and stuff like that.
Okay. Are you having any second thought? The reason I'm asking is very important. Your man, Kimi Raikkonen, was doing very well in karting, as I'm sure you know, went to kart racing and had some, you know, was struggling, and his management team sent him back to karting, and then we know, all know what happened, 23 kart races, he's in Formula One. Are you fully satisfied that you moved into kart racing at the right time?
Yes, I think I'm just in the right moment when I did my move, and we will see what happens now. I mean, my plan is to be in Formula One when I'm 21, and it will be seen what happens. But I'm working really hard to reach my goal, and I think that's it.
Yeah, that's all you can do is do your best, and we wish you all the best. Very nice meeting you. Thank you so much for your time. Finally, will you please tell our listeners, and we have listeners all over the world, including in beautiful Finlandia, a little bit about Petri Suvanto, the gentleman, young man from Finlandia, not the race car driver. What kind of music like? How do you like to chill out? And, you know, have you ever been to America? What's happening?
I'm pretty normal guy, normal Finnish guy. I do talk, actually, even though I'm Finnish.
I am so thankful.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. And I listen to some rock music as well as hip-hop. So, to be honest, I can't tell any a special genre to say. So it comes from various areas of music. And I think there's not much else to say. My life's pretty much going on around the racing, so racing is the number one, and then other things, even girls come after that.
Even girls, man, you are dedicated. Now, have you ever been to the US?
I've never been to the US, but it's one of my dreams to go there one day.
And what part of America would you like to visit first?
I don't know. It's either New York or California, but
no, dude, you come to California and your first burrito. Loaded burrito. You know what a burrito is?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever had one?
Actually, I've had one and I loved it, but maybe the Californian one is the only original one.
Oh, absolutely, with jalapenos, the first burrito and the first Mongolian beef Chinese food. Have you ever had Chinese food?
I've only had Chinese food like once, and I'm not sure if I liked it.
Okay, well, when you come to Cali, we're going to get you your first burrito outside Finlandia, and first Mongolian beef in California is on the house of F1 Weekly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and that's a deal then.
That is a deal, and you can write it in Finnish and English. Oh, by the way, do you how many languages do you speak?
I do speak Finnish, and then I would say quite fluent English, and then a little bit Swedish, and I guess that's it. I'm learning French at school, because I think it's important for a racing driver to learn French, because I think that French people really appreciate the thing if a foreign racing driver learns their language. So I think it's really important.
That's called kissing up to Eric Bouyer.
True.
Well, you're at least on the right track.
Nass, thanks for another outstanding set of interviews. Obviously, you did a lot of hard work in Barcelona. Between the hotel, between the track. But anyway, outstanding work. More zeros are coming your way. So I want to thank all the drivers that made this possible. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.